Yeah, so I want to start. Anybody ever heard of Lambert's Cafe down in, there's one in Missouri, or depending on where you're from, I guess it's Missouri or Missouri, right? Anyways, I thought that was funny. But there's one in Foley, Alabama. My family and I, we used to live in Daphne, and when we were in Alabama, about 45 minutes north of Gulf Shores. And so you know what I found? You know the easiest way to get family to come and visit you? Live close to something that's exciting. And that you're awesome. Awesome. It was somewhere, I don't know. And I even had it like colored everything. It's pretty. But so we, when we had family that loved to come and visit because they loved to go to the Gulf Shores. And so they would come by and they'd stay with us and visit. And so we just loved taking them to Lambert's. That's so much fun. And those, if you may not know what Lambert's is a restaurant. It's a homestyle kind of southern cooking restaurant, and they have portions that are just, they're huge, and they have these, they call them pass-alongs, if I remember correctly, and they've got all sorts of sides for you that you can they'll just give you much as you want, right? Oh my goodness, and they're throwing rolls, you know, across the restaurant, and I thought, well, I cannot pass that up today. And so I thought, I've got to do that today. And I see, didn't even know it, not even scripted, but Luke has his baseball glove today. So I have got to do that today. Now, no pressure, buddy, at all this morning. You ready for this? Yeah? All right, here we go. So got to catch it. Oh, all right. Hey, that's good, too. Those are the good rolls. I didn't skimp on it either. I brought the good ones out. All right, I see Arthur back in here. You might want to get in the aisle because if I miss, I don't want to hurt people's feelings and fall short. All right, you ready? Yes! All right. Nice, nice. Now I got one in the back. I see Becker in the back. Is he ready for this? All right, buddy. Here, I feel like I'm playing cornhole. Where's the... All right. Ah! Too funny. All right, I'll leave those. I'll leave that for there. Otherwise, because I have to keep smelling them, and it's making me hungry. So if you were at Lambert's and you left there hungry, it, as we used to say, it was your own fault. You ever heard that? Because they fully give you everything you need to just have just what a meal. It's crazy, over the top. Well, there's a story in the book of Exodus, and it's the story that will kick off our VBS this year. And it's the story in Exodus 16. It's when the Israelites are, and before I do that anymore, I stopped, just caught myself. I want to dismiss the kids for kids' church today. Lord bless you as you go. Have fun. And we will see you when you get back. And for those of you that had your roles and didn't get one, I'm sorry. I'm like going to stir it up. Why didn't I get one? Awesome. Cool deal. In the story in Exodus 16, if you have your Bible and you want to turn there, you can. I'm going to read a few different passages out of that chapter as I tell the story today. But in that chapter, where it sort of starts is that God, through Moses and Aaron, has led the Israelites out of Egypt. They're enslaved, they're in bondage. So he's led them out, and they get there a month out. And after being there, They reach the desert of Sinai, so you can imagine being the desert, arid wilderness kind of thing. They start to apparently run out of food. You imagine you're on this journey, you don't know how long it's going to take, and you find that you're starting to run out of food, and there's no grocery stores you can go to, right? So you're completely dependent on some outside source because they just had to pick up stuff and kind of, you know, in the middle of the night kind of thing and just sort of go. And they find themselves... they're starting to grumble. Anybody ever grumble? Know what that is? So griping, complaining, because they're afraid, they're not happy. And they actually say, if you look in verse 3 in chapter 16, they say to them, to Moses, that we used to eat pots of meat, which is an interesting concept, and bread to the full. So they had, oh my gosh, these had all the meat and the bread that they wanted to eat. This had so much. And it's amazing, interesting, how when you get hungry, how that hunger will sort of start to consume how you look at life, right? quick you forget all the slavery and oppression they were suffering in Egypt. And hey, when your belly's hungry, it's time to eat. Anybody ever getting caught up in griping or complaining when you see the prices are getting so high out there right now? It's easy. It's not hard to do, you know. I felt like somebody punched me in the gut when I filled up my Jeep Saturday morning and how much that cost me. I just, whew, got to get used to that a little bit. And some have it worse, you know, than me, and I get that. Did anybody ever get caught up in grumbling, griping, complaining when you're going through COVID? And all the, you don't have to nod your head yes, it's okay. All the restrictions, or you've been going through your job, and some of you were overworked because your staff, some of your coworkers either quit or whatever, and so you're having to do more work for the same pay. I mean, does that ever happen to you guys? Okay, it used to happen to me. Maybe you got a family member who keeps making bad choices, and you see that, and it just you want to get caught up. And you ever done that? You want to just, what's wrong with them? I mean, can they just get it through their thick head? Like, why do they not see it, right? We just gripe and complain. It's been my experience that it can be easier to, you know, we're having that to even maybe want to tell the Lord how bad we got it instead of thanking the Lord for his blessings that are already in our lives. Sometimes I've found that it can be easier to blame somebody else even for what we don't have instead of trusting the Lord for what he has. I found that it can be easier to fret. That's an old word we don't use quite as much today, I guess, but to fret about things, be worried, be super anxious about it, right? Instead of trusting in the favor. So we fret instead of trusting in the favor of the Lord and what he's promised. Now, with that being said, can I just make a quick little sidebar comment? Now, when I talk about fretting and griping, you're right, so that griping, grumbling, complaining, it's all sort of the same thing. If a person maybe does that because they're frustrated, because they're unhappy, they're discontent, they're not satisfied for one reason or another, or this deep concern for something that they're just so involved and so passionate about and believe in, I'm not saying that the person doesn't have faith in the Lord, right? So I'm not saying that. And now it may be that a person gets caught up in that and they don't really have faith in the Lord. But as I thought about my own life, I wondered if maybe we could just as easily say that when we get caught up in grumbling, that we may have just sort of overlooked the truths that we know about God, but we've kind of gotten so wrapped up in what we're stepping into or standing in, it gets higher and higher and higher and higher. We just kind of stop and forget the truths we know about God. When we step into hardships, God does not step over hurdles to sustain us. When we step into hardships, God is not stepping over hurdles to sustain us. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, the Apostle Paul says that God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power. And when you look at the story of Israel coming into the wilderness and they're facing the scarcity, right, of food, we see that verse, that truth about God come into reality in this story. You see, God knew that he was not going to be hindered when Israel faced its hardship. I find that's one of the hard struggles that human beings kind of have, and certainly people who are in faith. One of the struggles is when we step into a hardship and we don't see how the other side is going to, how it's going to play out, and we're not sure, like something's going to have to happen that's out of my control. When we face those types of moments, it can be tempting to sit in that moment of worry and fret about whether or not it's actually going to come to pass. Is God actually going to provide that so that I'm going to have what I need? Will he truly provide so that I can fully thrive? Like, I know the stories, right? Like, okay, I could tell you the story of Exodus 16, but do I believe that's going to actually happen for me? When we face those kind of moments, right? We say, where the rubber meets the road, will I believe? What do I believe? Well, God knew that he was not going to be hindered in that moment, and he promises to provide so that actually they can thrive on this journey that they're going to be on. And it takes us to verse 4. So if you want to look at verse 4 with me in Exodus 16, here's what it says. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. And in this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day, they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. Don't you love it? The Lord is testing their faith in their hardship to see if they would trust him to provide so that they could thrive on their journey. In their hardship, God was allowing that season to be a test of their faith to see if they would trust him to be the Lord of heaven and earth and to care for them, to love them and provide for them. Will you trust me as the rubbers meet in the road, so to speak, right now? And the Lord, you know, if you read the story, like, you know, like, he already knew what he could do for them, and he already knew what he was going to do for them, and he wanted, of course, them to learn to trust him. And King Solomon, their later king, because many years down the road there, would write Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Have you ever heard that passage before, right? Trust in the Lord. You imagine, like, here we are in the wilderness, and what does God want for them? He's like, I want you to trust in me with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, everything you do out here in the wilderness, acknowledge me as the Lord and the sustainer, the provider of all that is good for you, and he shall direct your paths. Now, you see, I'm bringing, right, Proverbs into the story in Exodus. Because the same God of the Exodus story, it's the same God that David served. It's the same God that we worship and serve today. So his word, it's the thread, right, that carries through. So on day one of VBS, are you excited for this? Like, it's going to be here before you know it. It's crazy to think, but it will. Kids are going to learn that God is a great provider. And he fully provides so that they can thrive. That's going to be the goal, that one of the goals on day one for us, and we're going to use this story. Now, I don't think we're going to throw rolls at them. I haven't seen that in the plans. But we're going to use the God providing, like, food, tangible, practical things as a way to help teach the kids that we can trust God to provide in all of life, right? And I'll talk a little bit more in just a few minutes about something specific that we want to trust him to provide. So, in the story, to me, the fun part of the story, well, one of the fun parts is coming up right here, and that's in verse 13. So, if you want to look at verse 13, what I like about this part of the story as we keep going through it is that God knows exactly what we need. So, not only does he promise that he's going to provide, not only does he know that he has the power to do it, but he also knows exactly what we need. And if you look at verse 13, let me read 13 through 18. And we're going to see that. We're going to see what he does here. So watch this. So in verse 13, so right, he's made the promise. He says what he's going to do. It's manna and quail. And so here we go. That evening, quail came and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" But they did not know what it was. By the way, the word manna means "what is it?" Right? So there we go. It's a free one. I'll give it to you. Moses said to them, he said, "It is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded." So here it is. He says, "Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer," that's a measurement, "for each person you have in your tent or your household." So the Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some gathered little. And when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Listen to this. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. God provided exactly what each family needed so that they were fully sustained for their day and for the week. Now, God takes it a step further. And to me, you know, I never say God's showing off, but there's times when God does stuff that you go, "Man, that's good." And this is one of those moments. For me, it is. I love this part. So what he does is he says, "Okay, now, let's just keep it simple. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, come on. And Saturday, all right, so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you are to gather, right, what you need for that day. So manna will appear in the morning. And that's what you're going to be basically using sort of for making bread and so on. And then in the evening, it's going to be quail. So, wow, God provides carbs and protein, two essential elements for them to be able to eat and to be sustained. Now, you knew I was going to bring that in there. So anyways, but what he does is on Saturday, in the he says, "Okay, now you collect how much?" Do you say? Twice as much. So you collect and cook what you're going to need for day seven, because on day seven, there's not going to be anything for you to collect. And what you had on day six is going to carry you through day seven. And then Monday, if you will come again, you're going to start again. You're going to go out in the morning and you're going to start the cycle again, right? And what we'll know, what we learn, is that that becomes a kind of a precursor for keep the Sabbath, right? Have a time of rest, right? Okay, so we see a precursor for that. Because we haven't received the Ten Commandments yet. That hasn't happened, right, at Mount Sinai yet. So here in this story, when they collect what they need on day seven, if they try to do that on any other day, because you can imagine some people, right, what are they going to think? Well, if it worked on Saturday, it probably ought to work on Wednesday. And so someone would try to go out and they would try to do. And guess what? It wouldn't last. So for some reason, it would spoil. It would go bad. And it wouldn't be, couldn't eat it. Couldn't use it on the next day. I love that even from that story, that even years later, King David learned the same truth in his own life. Psalm 37:25. He wrote, "I was young, and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread." That God has promised that he will sustain his people. He will provide so that they can thrive. Now, if you're in my version of thrive is a brand new car with a brand new house and the latest trends, you and I might be a little disappointed in that, because he's not promising monetary prosperity when he's talking about, right, what he's going to provide for them. What he's providing is what they need to make it, to be able to continue on and to be a community together that would do life together and would help one another, that would have what they need to get up in the day and face the day and go through the day and get to the end of the day and to be able to rest and to get up the next day and keep this cycle going and say, "Today I get up and I serve the Lord. And today when I went to bed, today I served the Lord. And he was faithful. He sustained me through my day. He is so good in what he's given me." For me, I think that's at the heart of what the Apostle Paul wrote in Philippians 4:19. You may know this, and my God will supply, he will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Can I bring back the Incredibles for a moment? Yes! Can I put these two together? God can provide so we can thrive as followers of Jesus, as incredible followers of Jesus. And I know we're talking about daily bread, right? We're talking about practical, tangible things that we can see and touch and all that. And that's on purpose. That's the story. And that's what we're going to do in VBS, because that's a starting point with the kids. And it's also the message of the cross as well. And I could not make that jump today and leave that in the lurch, so to speak, right? Like, we had to go there. That Jesus has provided salvation so that we can thrive in a relationship with God. He wants you to thrive and be sustained through life, but yet where that truly finds its greatest potential is in Jesus. It's in the message of the cross. Where we were separated from God, where we were facing death without hope of eternal life with our Creator, where we were at odds with God, where he had created us to want to be with him and to be with him, but yet in sin we were separated and there was no hope of thriving. In fact, the whole part of the lesson in right in the Old Testament and with the law that it gave them was to help them realize that you just can't. In and of yourself and on your own, you can't. You need God to provide. Because without him, you can't thrive. And you'll find out that if the things of the world are what you want to thrive on, at the end of the day, they're going to keep leaving you empty. If it's your bank account, it's going to leave you empty. If it's the attention and approval of others, those of you that were with me last night at the Emmaus gathering, it will end up leaving you empty. It has to be in Jesus. And that's what God knew. And that's why he did what he did. And ultimately, we want to teach the kids that we're going to have during that week of VBS that, dude, God is great. And one of the ways we know he's great, put John 14:6 on the screen. Can we read this? If you can read that, let's read that together. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. We want to point the kids to Jesus. That the way to know a thriving life with God is through Jesus. And we want them to know the next one as well. John 6:35. It's a little bit longer. Let's read that together. Let's throw it up. We can do this. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Faith in Jesus is the only doorway into experiencing God's full sustenance for our lives and for eternity. That's the ultimate good news that we're going to teach kids during VBS. So if your children or your grandkids or you've got friends or neighbors and you're like, man, what are they going to hear? I promise you, they're going to hear this again and again, that Jesus is the way. He is the hope of he's the hope of our lives, that he is the one who can sustain us, for he has it all. He's sovereign. He's Lord over it all. We don't have to worry. We can trust. We don't have to grumble and gripe and complain about what we don't. In fact, we have an alternative. And, oh, by the way, that's kind of where God ends the story in chapter 16. So let's just go there. God has a plan for how they ought to use their experience and the moments that they found themselves in to help other people know the kind of God that he is. So check it out. So watch this. So in chapter 16, it's super simple. It's short. It's in verse 32. Here's where it says, "This Moses told them, he says, this is what the Lord has commanded. He said, take an omer of manna and keep it for the generations to come so they can see the bread I gave you to eat in the wilderness when I brought you out of Egypt. So what's he saying? Watch, we're going to keep this super simple. All right, who else needs a role? Come on. You ready? Mom said, put your hand down. You game? Come on. All right, come on. Somebody else I know is dying for a role. All right, come on, Zach. There we go, buddy. What? Who needs another role? Come on, here we go. Now, whether Dad shares it, I don't know. But so why'd you do that? Well, easy. Because that role is a story. And God wants you to take and throw your stories. Tell your story. Cast that story out there. To share what he's done. What he was capable of doing. The things that he's done for you. Throw your story out there for people to hear. One of the great stories that I've heard recently, and I know they're not here this morning, but Ben Murphy, and of course his wife Diana, but Ben has just been on a year journey of fighting to get healthy. There was a moment when he was getting sick and was going kind of, you know, downhill, and it's like, I got to go to the ER, right? And I don't know exactly what's going on, but I got to get there. And so Diana takes him to the hospital, takes him to the ER. They get there. They don't know exactly what's wrong with him. There just happens to be a particular emergency room doctor who has had, if I remember correctly, experience basically like as an army medic, right? And so when they said, here's what's wrong with Ben, he predicted exactly what was going to happen next. And guess what happened? The very thing that he predicted. Because he knew from the symptoms and all the patients he had worked on previously, he knew exactly what was wrong with Ben. And they were blown away. They're like, how in the world? It's like, well, because he's suffering with this, and this is exactly what we have to do. We have to do this exactly what we got to do right now if we're going to save him. And it happened, and he healed. That God knew exactly what was needed and who needed to be in that moment to provide for his servant to sustain him. That's a role. You throw that role so people can catch it, hear it, see it. Just don't maybe hit them in the head. Try to see if they can catch it, or don't hit the chair like me. And I had another idea. I thought, well, perhaps that we could also use our hardships as a teaching ground, that we could handle those rough patches in such a way that we would go, you know what, I'm going to choose to believe that my rough patch is not God's roadblock. That my rough patch right now is not God's roadblock. That though it looks like I am hindered in my hardship, God's not got to step over a hurdle to help me, because he's God. He is God. Now, I don't know exactly how it's going to play out. And now let me make this clear line, because sometimes this is where we go. I've seen it so many times that there's a thought, God can, so he should. And if he doesn't, then he must not be a good God, or he must not be powerful enough, or he must not love me, or he must not care about me. Wrong. The truth is that God can. God is worthy of being worshipped because of what he can do, not what he has specifically or needs to do for you or me. So if it doesn't happen the way we think it should happen because we believe what God can do, it doesn't mean that that faith is not worth having, that God is not worth worshiping, because, well, if he was, then he would have took care of me. Pastor just said he can fully provide so I can fully thrive. Yes, he can. That's the point, that he can. And that we would worship him because he's worthy of worship. is a God who fully can. You see the difference? And yet when we grumble, it can be tempting and easy to forget that that's really what worship's about. It's not about God should be worshipped because he made my life easy. And he solved every problem. And he healed every conflict. And he smoothed over all the rough edges in my life. That's not why we worship God. We worship him because he's God. Period. That's it. So I thought, okay, how might that truth then affect how I step into a hardship? Maybe it would be healthier if when I face those that I would proclaim God's goodness when I'm tempted to grumble. When I'm tempted to grumble, proclaim God's goodness. Let praise teach what I believe. Now, for those of us who are parents and grandparents, I find this is incredibly important. I don't always do this right, as my family can testify. But when you stand in a hardship as a parent, kids are watching and listening. So how we respond, how we handle it, teaches what we believe about the God we worship and his love and care and concern for us. What we say, how we carry ourselves, what we don't say. Those are all teaching moments. And so I think it's important that we remember that the teaching moment should actually teach our faith. Remember Deuteronomy, guys, says whatever you do, when you sit, when you stand, when you lie down, when you walk down the road, when you go shopping, when you go watch a movie, when you go, and I didn't say that, but when you go out and you just do life together, I want you to teach them about who I am. I want you to throw those roles and tell those stories. And I want you to handle life in such a way so that when those who are looking up to you look to you and they watch you and they listen, they're going to see a family member that trusts in God even though they're frustrated, they're unhappy, they're not satisfied, they're discontent, they're a little concerned about what lies ahead, they don't have the answer, they're hurting, but they see that you trust the God who is bigger than all that. That's where our kids learn, is from their parents and their guardians and the ones who are taking care of them. And I understand that we want to be authentic. Well, I got to be myself. Be careful with that. Be yourself transformed in the image of Christ, because that's what they need to see. They need to see the righteousness of Christ in you. But they also need to see that if you mess up, that you're also willing to say, I'm sorry, and to repent. Say, that was my bad. I handled that wrong. I'm so sorry. I've done that too many times. Thankfully, my kids still love me. And my wife, I think, pretty sure they do. They showed up today, so I figured that was a plus. Our hardships are not hurdles for God. We want to teach the kids that this year at VBS. He does not run out of what we need. We want to teach the kids that at VBS this year. The question I'd ask in response is, will you trust him daily to provide for what you need because of who he is and what he's done and what he can do, remembering that he loves you and he works for the good of those who love him? And while it may not be ultimately about what he solves or provides in the next 24 hours, because that's ultimately not the point of the story, you trust that when it's all said and done, and you stand before the Lord, that the Lord is going to say, well done. Come and enter into your master's happiness. That ultimately that's the thriving we're talking about. the end of the day, that you can live life in the knowledge of that promise and the peace that you have an assurance that the Lord has secured for you the greatest blessing of all. So trust Him. At the end of the day, that is what's awaiting for those who call the name of the Lord in faith, who trust and follow Him. Amen. I'm going to ask Miss Deb Courtney if she would come forward.